Good to see you this evening. We seem to have had a great service this morning. Music was just super. Appreciated the choir and the specials. It was just terrific. And we launched a children's church this morning. And they had 27 in the back. You know, I thought, well, we'll take the children out of here. It'll seem a little bit emptier, but we had a pretty good crowd in here this morning too. I think there was nearly 180 in the services today, and so we're grateful for God's mercy to us all along the way as He continues to bless. It's great to be able to have the problem of of working to get around to the new faces in the services, and that's a blessing indeed. We realize that. That's the Lord's work. It's not ours. And, of course, it's ours to make sure they know we appreciate they're here, that we indeed feel that great privilege and honor that folk, that God would be pleased to lead folk our way. You can be turning this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I do like to commend the choir for their hard work. Brother John, the specials. Super special this morning, very appropriate for the today, 9/11. And again, please be mindful to continue to pray for those who are all the emotions and everything involved with that day 10 years ago come very fresh to the service as we mark a special time, a special milestone, if that's even the right way to put it, being 10 years to the day. So please pray for those ones. And of course, we continue to pray for the young men and women that are stationed in Iraq and Afghanistan, any place, place of danger, representing our nation and keeping us safe and free. Well, if you found your place there in 1 Corinthians 11, please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. We read here, of course, from the pen, the writing of the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to this local church there in Corinth, and of course, helping them, directing them, teaching them in the things pertaining to just how a local church should operate. And so that's what we need to know. That's what I need to know as the pastor of a local church. And he writes here in 1 Corinthians 11, and beginning to read right in verse 1, where it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Father, this once again, we bow before you after a tremendous day, and Lord, it's not over yet. We ask you to meet with us in this hour as well. Please, Father, give understanding and liberty for your word this evening. We want to hear from you. These dear folk, they don't need to hear from a man. They don't need, certainly do not need to hear from Jim Turner. So, Father, please deliver your message to our hearts. Deal with us, encourage us, challenge us, Father. And we'll give you the glory for every bit of it. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory we pray. Amen. And of course, you may be seated. Well, we over the last, three or four Sunday nights, I think we even launched this series on authority on a Sunday morning. And this evening should be the last of these messages dealing with this subject. And we deal with some areas that kind of tie it together, hopefully, and seeing some things that those in authority indeed need to remember as well. And we begin with the duties of authority tonight. It's one thing to speak of their responsibility and all that that we've been dealing with, but there's also duties for those who are in authority. And those that do or are in authority must understand that having authority is just as much about accountability and responsibility as it is a right. And in fact, I don't see authority, having any rights of its own, yet it has plenty of responsibility. Those in authority can fall prey. Now listen, they can fall prey to a feeling of superiority over those that they are in leadership over if they are not very, very careful and understanding their responsibility in this area of accountability. And with that then, we want to deal with those two words just in the sense of defining them for our understanding. Just what is responsibility? Well, responsibility would have to do with those duties or obligations that one must accept with authority. With authority comes duty, comes responsibility, becomes obligation. But then in conjunction with that, there is accountability. What's accountability? Well, accountability is answering for those responsibilities, being answerable for one's actions, and being ready to give account for our actions. Well, a position of authority then is a position of representation, if we can say that. A position of representation. We've established over and over again that only God has absolute authority. We've tried to drive that home over and over again. The only absolute authority is God's authority. He is the Creator. He's the one that spoke this universe into existence by and through His Son. And we are here accountable under His authority. Those in authority are responsible, that is, obligated to carry out the will of the one who has placed them in authority. You follow what I'm saying? A president of the United States is accountable and responsible to carry out his duties as they are given to him. He is indeed accountable as well for his actions. And of course, as we would carry that on through, whether it be a president, whether it be an employer, whether it be a parent or a pastor, his authority is not his own. Oh my. Those in authority would grasp that. That authority does not belong to them. He must remember that he represents another. Huh? That he represents another. Ultimately, that's always God. Even those in leadership of our country, the highest office in the land, is accountable to God. He is responsible to God, whether they realize it or not. Everyone in authority must first come to understand that to be in authority, you must first be under authority. Everyone in authority must understand that to be, I hope I say it right after spilling that, to be in authority, you must first understand that you are under authority. As we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, the Apostle Paul understood this. What's he say? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ, or in the same way that I follow Christ. Paul's declaring both his responsibility and accountability in that statement. He's responsible before the Lord to carry out his position as God had gave it to him. And indeed, he is accountable, was accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ for how he carried out that responsibility or his authority. The goal or agenda, if you will, of one in authority is not, this isn't double talk, is not to promote his own agenda. It's his responsibility to carry out the agenda of the one who put him in authority. Pastor, a pastor cannot demand that his people follow him if he's not following Christ? And even more, as we'll see about that in a moment. A husband cannot expect his wife to be in submission to his leadership if he's not in submission to Christ's leadership. Boy, there's a biggie for us, isn't it, fellas? But that illustration carries through. Now listen, gals. That illustration carries on through in that the wife cannot expect her children to be in submission to her if she's not in submission to her husband's leadership. Ouch, I got real quiet all of a sudden. No ladies amen and now. Well, a position of authority is one of service. A position of authority is a position of service. And this aspect of service is two-pronged. With the position of authority comes a responsibility to serve both the one that is over you, but also those that you have authority over. Oh my. I remember many, many years ago now, before most of these young ones were even a twinkle in their mama's eye. But I remember as I worked at General Motors, the boss coming to me one day and asking me if I was interested in being in supervision. And I says, "No way." He says, "What do you mean? Why wouldn't you want to be part of supervision around here?" And I says, "It's very obvious. I've watched you." He says, "What do you mean?" And he was a good boss, don't get me wrong. But he said, "I've watched you. You've got to keep those folks happy up there in that front office, but you also got to keep these people happy out here in the department. I'm happy coming in, punching my clock and doing my job and going home and leaving the rest behind me." With authority. And here I am now. Look at this. With authority comes that two-pronged service. To he that is over you, but also as you serve those. Especially in the ministry, as we see that it's all about service and a servant's heart and attitude. A president, for an example, should be consumed with the safety and well-being of a nation, of his nation. A pastor should work to meet the needs of his flock, of his sheep. A husband and father has the responsibility of leading and providing for his family. And all of that can only be fulfilled if there's a servant spirit is possessed. We're here to serve. Can I, as a pastor, expect you to have a heart to serve God if you don't see that heart in me? Oh my, you need to pray for your pastor. A position of authority is one of service, but also a position of authority always has limits. A position of authority always has boundaries and limits. A grave risk for those in an authority is to overstep the limits of the authority that God has ordained in that area. You follow what I mean? There's that danger that someone in authority would go beyond the boundaries, the limits of the authority that goes with their position. Here's a key concept concerning authority in this. A person in authority must remember that he has received that authority. That authority has been given to him. It's not authority that is inherent of who he is, other than God himself. All authority, as we've said, resides in him. And all other authority is delegated authority. There's that danger that we begin to see our authority as something that is just ours because it's ours. And indeed, what a dangerous place that is. If this concept, if this truth is forgotten, that one in authority will begin to take authority that has not been given to them. You follow me? Tyrants have that problem at all, always, where they have entered into that position and then they grasp authority that was never theirs to have. They take that authority and then rule with terror, usually, those that are under them. Governments, indeed, can become tyrannical very easily and very quickly. Listening, guys, husbands can expect their wives to serve them more like kings than a loving leader in the home. Parents. Parents can physically, even emotionally abuse their children if they forget their place of proper authority. Pastors can begin to lord over the Lord's heritage, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, and then demand a loyalty and obedience that is not theirs to expect. Oh my, this whole thing is certainly, isn't there a hopefully we're over these, especially these last couple of weeks, begin to see the tension that exists in this whole thing of authority. Being able to maintain that balance of truth in authority, where its limits indeed are. An example, every pastor has been given spiritual leadership authority for the local church, but he doesn't have the right to tell folks what kind of car they ought to buy. Huh? It's overstepping his place when he begins to interfere even in the personal lives of his sheep. Well, when is authority abused? God's been pleased to establish, as we've seen, delegated authority in this world. He's established that delegated authority in this world for the good and the benefit to promote order for man. Authority is a good thing, as it's been given to us of God. But there is that ever-present danger of authority being misused and abused. Doesn't matter what area of authority it is, whatever area it is. If it begins to seek its own selfish purposes, then it is a misuse of its design. I think we understand that. Pretty easy to understand. It's not hard for us to pick up on abuses of authority. We've probably experienced abuses of authority somewhere along the line in our lives. Governments can abuse that authority, as we've said. Homes, fathers, husbands, pastors, anyone in authority can abuse that authority. Authority is misused if it assumes infallibility. You ever had a boss that's never been wrong? You ever known somebody that's never been wrong? Don't answer that. I don't want to hear. Some in authority can begin to assume that they've never made a wrong demand. They do not believe that it's possible for them to overstep their authority. Again, they've lost sight of the limits and boundaries of their authority. Now, with that said, to be fair, there can be a claim of a misuse of authority when the real problem is the one when the one that is in authority makes a decision or a direction change that we just don't like, right? If someone makes a decision that's in leadership over us and we don't like it, well, you're misusing your authority. You don't have authority to do that. Well, they may have the authority, but we just don't like what they're doing. So both sides are certainly possible. I might disagree with the authority that God's placed in my life, but then again, that does not give me the right to ignore that authority. I know this is not true of these young folks here, but I confess in my own life, there's a lot of times I thought my dad was unfair in the decisions he had made for me. But he taught me very well that I still did not have the right to ignore that authority. There would be consequences to pay for sure. But those lessons are important to learn. I don't know how many times when I worked for Generous Motors that someone I worked with, because they didn't like a decision that the front office made, well, they pitch a fit about it. You know what I know I was an oddball in the mix, but I'd say, whose name is on the check? Who signs your check? They have the right to tell us what they want us to do, even if I think it's wrong. It's their business. If they want to do it wrong, it's their business. You follow what I'm saying? We made an agreement when we went to work there. And just because I don't like the way they're doing something doesn't mean I can throw off that authority that they have over me. Well, as well, authority is misused if it seeks to manipulate. Oh my. Authority can seek to manipulate to achieve its agenda. Insecure people in places of authority will use manipulation and schemes to control others. Well, that's sad, but it's so true. And again, if you've been in the work world very long, you've probably run into that somewhere along the line. Pastors, an insecure pastor, many times a young pastor can have problems in that area. In his insecurity, he can tend to try to manipulate things to achieve what he's trying to do. You know, a long time ago, I had to get over myself and just seek to let God do what He wants to do. And of course, sure works a whole lot better in the end. If he seeks to manipulate, he misuses his authority. An abusive leader will suppress those they superintend and will give little opportunity for them to exercise their own gifts and to stretch themselves in this area. Oh my. Sad. You know, I feel the responsibility to protect this holy desk. But I sure also enjoy allowing other gifted men to preach and to use this holy desk as well. And it doesn't bother me a bit to sit and hear them. You have to put up with me enough. It's good to get another voice once in a while. This manipulation can come through many ways. It can come through threats. It can come through imposing guilt or attempts to bring positional authority to bear in an undue way. Oh, even, I'll be careful. Mothers can tend to have that problem. I heard about this Jewish mother that had bought her son a couple new shirts for his birthday, and the next day her son came down the steps wearing one of those nice new shirts, and the first thing she said is, "What's the matter? Don't you like the other one?" Huh? You think about it a while. We can use guilt to try to manipulate folks along the way. Well, thirdly, authority is misused if it demands submission that belongs to another. Authority can be misused if it demands submission that belongs to another. It's good and it's right to be loyal and receptive to God-given authority in our lives. That's good. Be loyal to the authority God's put there. It's wrong when one authority seeks loyalty that does not belong to them. Loyalty is essential in the marital relationship. That fidelity and loyalty is essential. Employees should indeed have a sense of loyalty to their employers. As Christians, we should be loyal to our church and the covenant that we entered into when we join and unite with each other. Well, that's something we don't deal with too much in these days. Is that promise? That what's a covenant? It's a promise. And when we enter into and join a local church, we covenant together to serve each other and to serve Christ, of course. And there's a loyalty that should exist there in that. We are to be absolutely, totally loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our independent Baptist churches, we find a couple extremes in this area. We're good. I don't know about us Baptists. We're sure good at getting in the ditch on one side or the other of the road. We have the church hoppers who flip-flop their church membership more than a politician during the election cycle. They last a year or two here and there, and then they move on. When something goes on in the church they don't like, maybe the pastor does something, maybe the choir sings off tune one Sunday, and off they go. They're going down the road someplace. Sad. But the other extreme is when those whose loyalty to a church is so entrenched that regardless of how liberal or how unbiblical a local church may become, they wouldn't consider ever leaving. Boy, it's a quandary both ways, isn't it? There needs to be that loyalty. But beloved, God does not expect us to remain loyal to an organization that's departed from the truth. The day you hear, well, you're pretty safe at this, so I'll use this example. The day you hear me read from another version of the Scriptures, you all need to walk out. I say something I know you're going to be safe on. Authority is also misused when there's no accountability. When there's no account, when the authority refuses accountability. If an authority is doing what's right, there should never be a problem with answering any question that may come up concerning decisions or actions. There should be no problem if an authority is doing what's right to be accountable for what that authority may be doing. When authority messes up, it happens. But then there needs to be a willingness to own up to those mistakes. Huh? We all mess up. I remember one time I messed up, Brother Kurt. Yeah, since supper. But then as well, authority is misused when it resorts to telling you that it is an authority. An authority messes up when it resorts to telling you that they are the authority. If you follow what I mean there. There's a problem when those in authority have to remind you that they're in authority. Normally, proper authority does not have to demand loyalty. It's easily recognized. I remember reading this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. Lord Jesus Christ is just preached another one of those tremendous messages at the close of the Sermon on the Mount. And it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." His authority, His bearing made it obvious by both what He taught and how He taught, that He was or He had that authority and not as others had been. Well then, trying to finish this up, how should you deal with abusive authority? That's tough, isn't it? What do you do when authority is abusive? There will be times that we have confrontations with authority. Well, let's say we might disagree with authority. It's not wise, beloved. It's not a good idea to argue with the policeman when he has you pulled over out on the highway. Doesn't usually work out to your favor when you do that. It's frustrating. It's indeed frustrating when we can't get our government leaders to understand our concerns. It seems that if those authorities have a deaf ear to us. our concern in this, in our setting, is dealing with authority in our lives that has that ongoing practice of abuse or the misuse of the position that God has delegated to them. That's our concern. How do we deal with that where it gets close? And abuse can take so many forms. There's emotional abuse, obviously. And several types of physical abuse as well. And if you find yourself, I'm going to say this as a, just straight out. If you find yourself in a relationship where you're being physically abused, you need to get out of there. You need to remove yourself from that situation until that abuser gets help. As a pastor, I would never encourage divorce. But I will also never tell someone to stay in a situation where they could be harmed through violent abuse. Try to say those things carefully. If you're in a job or in a church relationship where you're receiving abuse from authority, you need to deal with it with the proper authorities. Again, trying to be careful in what I say here. There is, of course, the potential for false accusations. But I'm concerned more about the one who may be in danger. Always that one that may be in danger. As a church and ministries here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, we need to be constantly vigilant in these areas. We try to make sure that there's never a teacher in a classroom by themselves. Try to make sure that I make sure that I'm never in an office with a woman in a closed door. Never. We don't ever want to have the Channel 8 news parked out in front of that sign. Because just the accusation of abuse would be all that it'd take to destroy our ministry here. So we need to be very, very vigilant with abusive authority. But then also, thinking of it in more of a general way, be careful. Be careful when there's that more run-of-the-mill abuse of authority, that you don't retaliate against an abusive authority. It may be our desire. It may be our desire, and it may even seem right to straighten out that authority that isn't doing right. And as a Christian, though, we need to always, always respond biblically. An example. A very good example. Remember young David. His life, his early life as a young man, is a tremendous example of someone who was mistreated by an authority in his life. Be mindful that on two occasions, King Saul tried to use his spear to skewer David to the wall. What did David do? Pull it out and throw it back at him? No, he certainly didn't. He certainly didn't. When David was on the run from Saul, be mindful that he had two opportunities that he could have killed Saul very easily. But again, he would not reach his hand out against authority, no matter how abusive it had become towards him. I forget the fellow's name. Somebody can help me later with it. But I remember that second time when God had allowed Saul to be in that place where David could have killed him easily. And one of his men said, Just let me give it to him once, David. Just let me run him through one time. I won't do it twice. But David said, no. I'll not touch God's anointed. Wow. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6, it said this, "He said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. The Lord's anointed to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." Now, when we read that, it's astounding. That's in chapter 24 of 1 Samuel. And David's situation is especially interesting when we remember that God had sent Samuel to anoint David king of Israel in chapter 16. And yet David waited. David did not seek to take the throne that God had given him in his own strength. He waited until God gave him the throne, until God raised him up to the throne of Israel. Well, that's a lesson for me. How many times we might come under a situation where authority over us is unjust, treats us wrong. But are we willing to let God be our avenger? Just remember that God does not work on our schedule. That's so hard. God doesn't work on our schedule, but He will always do what is right. He'll always do what is right. But then for our own sake, we also need to remember to not get bitter. To not get bitter over abusive authority. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough to get wronged and not get bitter over it. One of the worst things a believer can do is when he's subjected to abuse of authority is to get bitter towards authority. Authority is not the problem. The abuse of authority is the problem. That abuser of authority is the problem and the real issue. Now think about this, on this very thing. There are many people that sit at the house on Sunday because it's somewhere along the line they were abused by a pastor or maybe by a church. And so they've just dumped the whole thing. Rather than being able to keep things in perspective, they throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater and lose God's blessing for them. Joseph is another excellent example, isn't he? He's an excellent example of someone who suffered repeatedly at the hands of abusive authority in his life. Here it starts out when he gets sold into slavery by his big brothers, his older brothers, sold off to the Ishmaelites and carried off into Egypt. Where what happens? Once again, he's abused by authority, lied about, and thrown in the jailhouse. He had done anything wrong? No. Nothing wrong. He, in our minds, would have been perfectly justified in becoming bitter and resentful towards authority. But Joseph didn't do that. Even when he had interpreted those dreams for the king's cup holder and the baker, and the promise was made, the cup holder made the promise that when he got back to Pharaoh, he would speak up for Joseph. But what happened? He was forgotten there. Sat there in the jailhouse for another 2 years. But that wasn't the end of the story, was it? God was pleased. God was pleased to elevate in Joseph when the time came, when the right time came. And concerning the abuse of his own elder brothers who sold him into slavery, Joseph said this in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." It's hard to see that when we're in a bad situation, isn't it? It's sure hard to see that. God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day. And as Joseph at that point was the second man in all of Egypt. As it is this day to save much people life. It's hard for us. But how many of us, how many times, and hey, I'm talking to Jim Turner here. How many times might we be prone to become bitter and resentful when God is working behind the scenes to accomplish something grand and glorious for His program, and we miss it because we're having a pity party? Huh? You ever been there? Usually you're the only one present. Well, how can a right spirit be maintained under abuse? Again, we got to just remember some things about God. Remember some things about who God is. And remind ourselves, again, God always does what's right. God always does what's right. And that abusive authority will one day answer for itself. Huh? I try to remind myself and others, God doesn't always pay on Friday. He will. He will do right. Secondly, must not do something that would hinder our own relationship with the Lord. Why allow ourselves to enter into and see a root of bitterness take form, take place in our lives that will keep us from enjoying our own relationship with God? How many times would we allow bitterness and resentment towards somebody that's done us wrong along the way to create that spirit that will hinder our own walk with God? And you know, 9 times out of 10, the other person doesn't know a thing about it. Huh? And we got that sourness in our gut. And our bitterness keeping us from enjoying the blessings of God in our lives. Well, God may just see fit to remove that abuse of authority from His position, or He may see fit to move you, or He may see fit to give you grace. He may see fit to give you grace to live in victory, regardless of what that abuse of authority is doing. The most important thing, number one thing, is let God take care of it. Let God do it. Oh my, it'll be a whole lot more glorious in the end. Well, try to draw all this to a close here. Is what we've looked at in this series the final word on the subject of authority? Well, sir, isn't. Sure isn't. Not hardly. It's been our goal to try to help us have a biblical understanding and attitude towards authority, period. Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, we all have a tendency to rebel against authority. People talk about rebellious teenagers. Well, they may rebel. That's just the nature of teenagers. But I've been pretty rebellious along the way in my own adult life, quote-unquote adult life. It's just because we belong to a fallen race, we're prone to rebellion. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Huh? It's just something of our nature. We have that tendency to rebel. But salvation in Christ enables a change in that whole thing. Enables us to be able to deal with authority in a Christ-like way. How will that happen? When we're willing to, first of all, yield and surrender to Christ's authority in our lives. If indeed, beloved, might not be real clear to our eyesight at times, but when we are truly in submission and yielded to our God, all these other issues are taken care of. Because when we're yielded and surrendered to Him, we're able to see past all of that present things we're dealing with. When we're truly yielded to Christ and our God, we're able to see glory on the horizon. And a lot of these things that can become such an issue to us, they get a lot smaller. Don't they? Because we're able to see right past all these things to the glory of God and what He has for us. Hey, eternity takes care of it all. Well, we started this study dealing with the need of authority for our society to even function rightly. And there's no question that without the existence of authority, this old world would be more like a war zone. And in those areas where authority is weak, there's already chaos, is there not? Many places in the world. I was shocked this week. I was watching the news one morning as we were getting ready for our day, and I heard about a Mexican high school football team was going to come across to play a game with some school here in Texas, I believe it was, and a drug cartel had the audacity to demand $35,000 in protection money, that they'd get them safe crossing over the border for $35,000. They canceled the game. It's chaos in so many places. But why is it chaos on our American-Mexican border? Because of no authority. Right? So where there is no authority, it is chaotic. And so we should welcome the proper use and working of authority. It's biblical. It's very clearly biblical. It's important that then that the Christian live in a proper relationship to authority, both in our actions and in our attitude. Because our attitude will ultimately determine our actions. It's just as important that all those that have the responsibility of authority, it's been a long day. The responsibility of authority, handle that trust of authority in complete submission to Christ. If you're a supervisor on the job, if you're a parent, if you're a husband, if you're a spiritual leader, we've got to have a clear understanding of where our authority is and the way it glorifies, the way it can be used, not for our glory, but for God's glory. Where do we start? Asking the question, just who's the boss? Who's the boss? Jesus Christ is a boss. He is the head of all. And we have an amazing, a wise, and a sovereign God who has set in place authority, not for our harm, but for our good. Amen. For our blessing. Might we, with God's help, recognize God's authority, submit to Him for that? Hey, when we walk and live with a proper understanding of where authority works and how it functions, we will also experience the blessing of God. Where a home is operating under that proper understanding and balance of leadership and authority, things are as God designed them. But when that gets out of balance, it's a horrible, horrible place. Right? Hey, whether it's that husband and father, whether it's the children, whether it's the wife, when proper authority is lost, it's a mess. It's a mess indeed. But, again, where Christ is in His proper place and on His throne, in one and all, kneel, bend the knee to His authority, then things come together in that proper and biblical balance. That's what we need to seek. That's what we need. Let's stand together, beloved.